This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning to you. If you're waking up on your Tuesday, maybe you're already awake and into your routine and you need a little pick-me-up. Well, that's what we do here on the show. Whether you're laughing with me or at me, I don't care. As long as you're laughing, smiling, as long as it gives you a little juice for this early morning, I do not know how you do it. I could never wake up at this hour, ever, on a regular basis. I can do it if I'm running a half marathon or I was prepared to do it for a sunrise ride on horseback over vacation, though that didn't actually materialize. But typically, I suck at mornings, whenever that happens to be. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And we did just post a series of photos on Facebook. So we've been telling you some stories from vacation, and then I'm trying to share the photos that go with the stories on Facebook. And so there's a new set of photos on our Facebook page named after the show. All the photos, or most of the photos, are already up on Twitter, A-Law Radio. So you guys had a sneak peek from when I was actually on vacation. But I will say, I did not one time open Facebook while I was away. Neither my work email nor my Facebook page were ever opened while I was away. Twitter's a little easier, and I do like to share photos because I love to take them, especially when it comes to clouds. Clouds and sunsets with clouds and flaming orange and pink and purple colors. I couldn't get a photo of the dolphins. I tried. We watched a school of dolphins fishing, and then pelicans over the top of where these dolphins were herding the fish all together. And the pelicans know it's easy dinner, right? Because the dolphins have already done all the work to get the fish together so that they can eat as a group. They fish together. And so the pelicans are dive bombing by the dozen just into the water. It's crazy to watch them from 30 feet up go straight down into the water and grab a beak full of fish, a mouthful of fish. So it's kind of cool. I'm all about the animals always, but especially on vacation. So whether it's horseback riding, which is where the new set of photos come from, or whether it's saving a stingray, I mean, it needs to be the highlight of my vacation. I also was introduced to something called calico crabs. Never seen them before. Maybe I'll share those photos. They're crabs that have either spotted or leopard print shells. Never seen them before, but they were very much alive. In fact, as we're getting down in the shallow water to try to take pictures of these calico crabs, we're kind of poking them on the shells just to get them to move around a little bit. Oh, yeah. One of them bared his little pincers at me and said, "I dare you to come any closer." I never get tired of sea life and marine life, and definitely never get tired of horses and horseback riding. So those were some of the highlights, but we'll share more stories. In fact, as we get to the hump show, it's Ask Amy Anything. So you're allowed to ask me about vacation or not, but I'll be happy to answer your questions about vacation. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So if you missed it, we've already done a deep dive into what is considered to be the marquee high-profile series of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Battle of Alberta, first time in 31 years that the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames will face off in the postseason. And we had a chance to talk with Jack Michaels, who is the play-by-play voice of the Oilers, does both TV and radio on occasion. He's dabbling. And the last time we had spoken to him, this is why it was so cool to welcome him back. The last time we had spoken to Jack was 2020. When Edmonton was dubbed not only the site of the Western Conference Finals in the bubble for the NHL's return, but also the host of the Stanley Cup Final, regardless of who was there. Turned out that Tampa Bay won that series, won the Stanley Cup, but it was in Edmonton and was without any fans. And so to be able to talk to Jack again and kind of think about where we were 2 years ago. Not quite this time. It was later in the year, later on the calendar, but it was neat to reconnect with him and talk about the buzz in Alberta. And also I asked him this question, which I thought was fun. Considering how that game 7 between Dallas and Calgary ended, it was a very real possibility that Calgary could have lost in sudden death in game 7. Why? Because of Jake Oettinger. He was getting pummeled, pelted. The Flames were relentless. And actually, I guess it's really difficult to win sudden death if you don't ever have the puck. That's what it felt like. The Calgary Flames were dominating the puck. They were dominating possession. They were pummeling Oettinger and the defense with shots. And Oettinger came up with big save after big save after big stop. Finally, there was an offensive rebound, and the goal was top shelf by Johnny Gaudreau. Oettinger did everything he could to the tune of 64 saves. So I asked Jack Michaels, who were Edmontonians, who were Oilers fans rooting for? Would they rather see the arch-rival Flames get ousted in a Game 7 by Dallas, or would they secretly root for them to win that series so that we could get this matchup between the Oilers and Flames in the second round? So it's interesting because you think about how much, just put yourself in you know, whatever space you are where you love a team, but you have an arch rival. You want that arch rival to lose and fail miserably, as in fall flat on your face and get embarrassed and humiliated. I don't know if the Phoenix Suns have an arch rival. Do they really? I feel like they're not that dangerous to anyone to have an arch. Well, at least their history hasn't been. But just think about it. You want your arch rival to lose. In fact, you love your team, but you hate your rival almost as much as you love your team. You can root just as much for your arch rival to fail as you can root with the same passion for your team to succeed. So that's kind of how it is between the Oilers and the Flames fans. But the thing is, if the Flames lose, which, okay, makes you happy because you hate the Flames, if you're an Oilers fan, then you don't get this matchup that we haven't seen in over 30 years. So I asked him, what about these Oilers fans? Were they rooting for this matchup, which of course would mean the Flames had to succeed, or were they rooting for a matchup with Dallas, which meant the Flames were out? Kind of interesting. But I feel like if you go, let's see, if you think about, I'll pull a random rivalry. Duke and North Carolina, that's college basketball. Yeah, of course Duke fans want to see North Carolina lose and vice versa. But how much buzz is there around those matchups and those games? I feel like most fans would tell you, sure, you want to see your arch rival miserable, but you'd like it to be at your own hand. You'd like to be able to deal that miserable failing blow.
I would be the one who would want to beat
the knockout
opponent.
Blow.
Right. How much more satisfying is that?
Yeah, so I feel like there are probably many Oilers fans who wanted to see the Flames win that Game 7, but man, it took everything the Flames had and then some. 64 saves, which means even though the Dallas Stars did not win, because Jake Oettinger left heart, soul, blood, sweat, and finally tears on the ice in Calgary, he is our defensive player of the week. 64 saves. sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And for his performance, not just in Game 7, but throughout the course of the series, he earned the respect of the Flames. And they, to a man, took extra time to congratulate him, to tell him great job, to offer him respect in the handshake line following that Game 7 win by Calgary, loss by Dallas. And so if you missed that conversation with Jack Michaels, fantastic. He's very entertaining. We actually did a bit of a, I wouldn't say it's ancient history, but we kind of went back to where were you when the Oilers were last relevant, which would be about the time that Wayne Gretzky requested a trade and ended up in Los Angeles. And so it was kind of neat to go back and look at that and why it's been so long for the Oilers and the Flames. Why has it taken 30 plus years for them to meet in the postseason again? So check it out on our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. We always post the link every weekday morning on both Twitter, AfterHoursCBS, as well as on our Facebook page. So that series doesn't start until we get to Wednesday night, but we get back to both hoops and hockey on this Tuesday night. It's kind of weird, right? Weird, but not bad. Weird, but not strange. We can't miss you if you never go away type of a feeling. No NBA or NHL playoff games on Monday night. What did you all do with yourselves? I actually had to do extra work. I was doing a video podcast. I didn't know it was video until 45 minutes beforehand. It felt like work. Anyway, and then I watched a little baseball. I also watched an episode of Chicago PD. That was fun. I'm trying to catch up on my DVR. My DVR is, I'm not kidding you about this, 98% full. Because this spring has been so, so all-consuming in the sports world that I just have not been able to watch anything really that I enjoy outside of sports. So none of my crime dramas, the FBIs, the NCISs. I've watched a little bit of the animated Star Wars series Rebels, which is what I'm working through now. And I've watched James Bond movies. That's really been the only thing that I've been able to do for fun. Nothing else. Everything is sports.
Do you have...
I'm so boring!
No, James Bond movies and Star Wars and other movies doesn't sound like such a bad thing if it's not
right,
going to be sports.
Right, but my DVR is 98%
right,
full.
But with that, do you have it things like scheduled to record
yes.
like weekly?
Yes, because
right,
I work,
be careful.
We work at night.
Right, so but you're going to run out of space, and then you're going to go back one day and think that you recorded a full hour of Chicago PD, but it only got the first 26 minutes.
Oh no!
So, yeah, you got
that's why I have to delete it or watch it,
yeah.
But I don't have time because right now we're still immersed in playoffs. But here's what I will tell you: because I joined Paramount Plus, I had to in order to not only does CBS air some of its sporting events on Paramount Plus, but I also had to be able to watch SHIELD Team. It's my favorite show. It got moved to Paramount Plus for season 4. And so I did get Paramount Plus. So all the CBS dramas, I can now watch online. So if I have to, I can go and delete some of that on my DVR. It's just that I have made no headway. None whatsoever.
Just sitting there.
The DVR is just, it's full. And you're right, it's going to run out of space.
Yeah.
So I have to keep watching an hour here and an hour there to try to get rid of stuff because I deleted a bunch of stuff before I went on vacation, knowing that if I didn't, it was going to run out of space while I was on vacation. So, yeah, it's a first world problem. I'm not telling you should be worried about me, only that's how busy this spring has been.
Who wants to go watch their show and you finally do get a chance to go sit down and watch?
and it's gone.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's at least something just to monitor.
Thankfully, On Demand offers some free options. But, yeah, it's a dicey situation at my house. This is how dull my life is. All I do is watch sports. Did you just nod? I said, this is how dull my life is, and you nodded.
No, not at that. What did you say right before that?
No, this is a dire situation. That was a misplaced nod.
No.
I said, this is how dull my life is, and James is on
that
the other side of the glass
nodding.
That might
have just been the second that you chose to look up, but I was nodding as you said that this is becoming a dire situation.
No. This is how dull my life is.
Yeah. I mean... I'm right there with you. So.
I was going to say, you are my social life, so if I'm dull, then I don't know what that makes you.
I'm pretty sure we were both on the couch watching Star Wars at 9:30 on a Saturday night. So.
Hey, you're the one that told me it was on.
That's exactly right.
Such a glamorous life you lead. It's network radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So not only do we have two of the hockey series starting tonight, so how about this, the Battle of Florida. Doesn't have the same cachet as Battle of Alberta, but the Tampa Bay Lightning are the two-time defending champions. The Florida Panthers, are they're lights out. They've been so good all season. I'm not saying it's because of Joe Thornton, only that this could be an opportunity for Joe to finally win a Stanley Cup. And so that series, and then also we haven't seen the Colorado Avalanche in what feels like months. They will start out with the Blues in game one tonight, and then Eastern Conference in the NBA. So no dark Tuesday night. It was a dark and stormy night. Nope, we've got hoops and we've got hockey, and the top seed, the Miami Heat, we'll have the opportunity now to kind of get back into it after a couple of nights away. So not going into a game seven the way that the Boston Celtics did. So it's the number two seed at the number one seed. And Eric Spoelstra thinks, hey, it worked out exactly as it should.
This is the way it should be. You have the two teams that played most consistently at the top of the East for most of the year. And we're meeting in the conference finals. You have to figure it out.
I love Eric Spoelstra. I believe he's such a constant in the NBA that maybe he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. But man, he and Pat Riley, they have seen their roster change so many times, various iterations of their roster to fit under a salary cap because guys didn't want to stay. And they've built a winning culture, and it's hard sometimes in the NBA when stars want to move around, but Jimmy Butler is thrilled to be there. He's given them this tenacity along with bringing in PJ Tucker, who by his own admission is a dog that's spelled with a W, you know. They want you to play ugly. The Miami Heat want to knock you out of your comfort zone. They don't want you to be comfortable. The Miami Heat want to frustrate you, both mentally and physically. They want to play you tough. They're going to use all their fouls. And so Eric Spoelstra says this could be a throwback series. Hey, the 90s are back, baby. As for the Boston Celtics, they're still dealing with some injuries, and it's never good news when Coach Ime Udoka issues the name Marcus Smart when attached to injuries, but He's also got the latest on Robert Williams.
Rob is available just like he was last night. I mentioned he'd be on a needed basis, and he's available, no minute restriction. You know, I'm always going to be a little bit cautious with guys coming off of a layoff without touching the court, but it's a little bit different starting a new series as opposed to being injected into a game seven or game six or whatever the case was before. But he's available, looking better every day and getting more confident in that. Regarding Marcus, he took a pretty bad fall. He got bent up. He has a midfoot sprain and, pretty tender and sore right now. But we'll get him round-the-clock treatment. And right now he'll be listed as questionable.
Marcus Smart plays with his whole body. And so not only do you have general wear and tear from a long NBA season, but he puts his whole self into it. It's like hokey pokey. You put your whole self in, you put your whole self out. Anyway, he plays hard like that. And because he's had some difficult defensive matchups too, right? He was assigned to Giannis for a good portion of the series against the Bucks, but to not have him And that takes away from what the Celtics can do offensively and defensively. Though good to hear Udoka talk about how Robert Williams is available. It's going to be interesting to see who draws the defensive assignment with Jimmy Butler. And I know we're not talking about a one-on-one the entire time, but what do you think that Marcus Smart would be a guy that they would put on Jimmy Butler at times, right? Depending upon Kyle Lowry's status and what happens there. Bam Adebayo had a field day in the games in which Joel Embiid did not play for the Sixers. He just had freedom. He had space. He had room to operate, and he got real comfortable in the paint. He can hurt you if he's got space and he's got room. You would think he and Al Horford would do battle in this series. So I'm wondering about Jimmy Butler. Now, Butler carries a very large chip on his shoulder. I think it slows him down when he runs up and down the court. Very large chip on his shoulder.
Hell no.
He's always got something to prove. Plus, he loves the Backstreet Boys, and he drinks coffee like it's going out of style. So,
huge fan of the Backstreet Boys.
Exactly. We are definitely siblings from another mother. And also, he's developed not only an affinity for Miami and for the culture there, but he knows that they've kind of given him free rein and they like what he brings to the table.
I try everything in my power to make sure that we win, whether it be getting a stop or offensive rebound or making a shot or making the right pass. But my coaches, the organization, and for sure my teammates, they just trust me with everything.
That's awesome. He's not been there that long, but he fits perfectly into what Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra want to do, and he now really sets the tone. I mean, everywhere he goes, he has to or he's out of there. It's either Jimmy Butler's way or the highway. He just happens to fit with what they want to do, right? So Eastern Conference Finals, and then you've got a pair of the second round series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So back to the grind, peeps. Great to have you with us. Thank you for all of your comments about the photos. So on Facebook, you're already blowing it up and checking them out after Hours with Amy Lawrence, or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's Tuesday. Good morning. Thanks for listening to us here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
He's getting evaluated now. Nothing further. I mean, we just watched the replay. He was going after a dribble, and Jordan Poole actually grabbed his knee and yanked it, which kind of triggered whatever.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Happens, so I'm actually going to be very curious to see what happens after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a basketball play. We doubled him. And I hit the ball, and I was going for the ball. I mean, obviously, you don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Brooks will take it to the front court, lets it fly, banked it in at the buzzer, and the Grizzlies hit another half-court three, but it's too little, too late. The Warriors will win 101-98, and they take a 3-1 lead in this best of seven.
Wednesday is going to be the hardest one yet. It always is, the closeout, and we're going to have to put this one behind us and think of a good game plan.
Brooks working on Moody, into the lane, Hanks lays it up with the left hand. It in off the window. 110-61, 49 point Grizzly lead, and the Grizzlies are cooking, and the Warriors right now are staring down at the other end of the floor. Timeout Golden State.
They're not gonna whoop that trick alone. We're gonna whoop that trick together if we're gonna whoop that trick. You know?
I think we just had just great energy. So you know, we're gonna need that, you know, moving forward. Game six on the road. It's going to be, you know, a tough one, but are we accepting the challenge? Are we responding to it? And are we going out there to do everything we can in our control to go in a victory?
Hand off Curry. Deep three on the way with one on the clock. Back rim miss. Looney again finds Thompson. Loads up a triple. Good! It's madness! Just madness! Curry with one. Has to take it. He does. It's up and it's good. It's a three ball in the left corner, fading to his left. The Warriors go up 16 with 95 seconds to go. Ball flipped away by Tyus Jones. Ball game's over. The series is over. And for the first time in 3 years, the Golden State Warriors are going back to the Western Conference Finals. Final score, Warriors 110, Memphis 96.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that was all kinds of drama. We don't get the West Finals until Wednesday evening between the Warriors, who are now the home team. They've got the home court advantage, and the upstart Dallas Mavericks. In fact, we even spoke to a Dallas TV anchor, Mike Leslie, and I asked him, Is this a surprise? Is it unexpected? Oh, yeah. So if you missed that conversation with Mike, it's also on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. But, you know, while you're in the West Finals, you might as well make it your best attempt. You might as well keep going. Why stop now? I wouldn't say that there's more pressure. Well, there probably is more pressure on the Warriors, but after everything they've been through, the core has been through, the coaching staff and then the guys who played in multiple NBA finals, I feel like that group is pretty impervious to pressure. They're comfortable in that space. The Mavericks, though, they can play free because there are no expectations there. But what the Warriors and Grizzlies just went through in games 4, 5, and 6 kind of got overlooked a little bit because game 6 was Friday night and because the Warriors closed it out on Friday night and just a seesaw affair from the time Ja Morant got hurt and Jordan Poole getting blamed, which we now know it was not his fault that Ja was injured. It was something that occurred earlier in the game, just re-aggravated when Jordan kind of smacked his knee, unintentionally, of course. But you hear Taylor Jenkins talking about it, and then Jordan Poole, and then game 5, what? Game 5 was as confusing to me as game 7 between the Suns and the Mavericks. I still don't understand it, except to say that the Warriors couldn't shoot, and they couldn't shoot, and then they compounded the problem with their effort on defense and the turnovers and everything else. And even when they started out game number 6, they still couldn't find that shooting rhythm. But finally, the Splash Brothers, the closer, Steph Curry, and then Klay Thompson found that rhythm and ultimately propelled the Warriors to a big fourth quarter and victory. But you hear calls with Eric Hasseltine on Grizzlies radio as well as Tim Roy on Warriors radio. Steph Curry had a big weekend. Not only did he and the Warriors advance to the West Finals, but he earned his sociology degree from Davidson. So he had never finished.
Well deserved.
He had never finished his degree at Davidson. If you remember, if you watched going back to those years, his super sophomore season and then his junior year as well, Davidson was all the rage, a true Cinderella in March Madness and making the Elite Eight in his sophomore year. What a fun, fun, entertaining run that was. That was when the world was first introduced to Steph Curry. And so he, over the course of the spring, while he's playing basketball, he's also finishing his coursework for a sociology degree. And on top of that, his number is now eligible to be retired by Davidson because he is actually a grad.
That's a huge part of just the full experience of, you know, now being official alum, and understanding the traditions of Davidson, the necessity for that degree to have that ceremony. So we'll see. I don't know. We haven't figured out when that'll be or anything like that, but it'd be special to kind of cement an amazing time of my life while I was there. All the teammates that I played with, Coach McKillop, who's still there doing his thing, representing the program that he built, and being part of that history means a lot.
Congratulations to Steph on earning his degree. I think that's so impressive that he was going to school and studying while he was also playing for, as it turned out, the 3 seed and now on into the playoffs. So what about the Mavericks? Well, not going to be an easy feat. As we heard with Pat Beverly on Monday, the league is afraid, scared of Luka. Not so much Chris Paul, we'll get to that, but definitely afraid of Luka.
They're obviously playing really high level. You have a lot of guys that have shined this playoff run. Obviously, Luka's doing what he's doing, putting up crazy numbers. The way he finished out that series was pretty special. Obviously, what Jalen did in the first round to get them out of that, you know, Jazz series, and what he's done the whole time since. Spencer coming off the bench, providing a huge bump. Finney Smith knocking down crazy shots, and they tried to step up their defense. So it's a tough matchup. We obviously know we have to be prepared on both ends, and we got to be locked in, you know, our game plan, understanding that things will change as the series goes on once we get a better feel for what they're like in a playoff, you know, series game after game. But in the Western Conference Finals, figure it out. Try to protect home court like we've done, you know, so far this playoff run, and get off to a good start.
So Steph Curry and the Warriors against Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. That's your West Finals that tip off on Wednesday. Now, as I referenced, Pat Beverly, take they ass home. Well, take your ass home. He's got time now to do media because the Clippers did not survive in the opening round. Actually, the play-in tournament, right? They didn't survive. The play-in. Oh, wait, I forgot he's not with the Clippers anymore. So, yeah, right. No wonder.
Take their ass home.
The Clippers dumped his rear end, and he never did forget it. And so when the Timberwolves beat the Clippers in the play-in tournament, well, then he had some choice words for the Clippers.
Weak-ass Clippers.
But now he has many choice words because he's got nothing but time on his hands. And he made an appearance on ESPN on Monday. Would we call it a testimonial of what the league thinks of Chris Paul is fascinating. Now, I don't know if Pat Bev has an axe to grind with Chris Paul. And because of their time together at the Clippers, maybe there's some history there and that's driving his comments. But yeah, we'll let you hear what he had to say. It's his opinion. It's a strong one. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And the Dallas Mavericks have defeated the Suns handily, 123-90. A huge victory for Coach Jason Kidd and this Dallas ball club. 123-90.
You play long enough and you don't win. Every time you lose, they're gonna say it was your best chance. But I think for me, us is we'll be right back next year. I'll tell you that much. I'm not retiring tomorrow. Thank God. You know, hopefully I'm healthy, come back, but keep playing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Chris Paul, unmistakable. For the second straight year, he and the Phoenix Suns, with a lot of expectations and a lot of hopes and promise, they build a 2-0 lead in what is ultimately their final series and are unable to protect it. And of course, the expectations were higher in 22 because they reached the NBA Finals last season and then lost to the eventual champion, the Milwaukee Bucks, but were the best team in the regular season by far. They were the President's Trophy winner by far in the NBA this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, the great Al McCoy on Suns Radio. Chris Paul says he's not retiring, and I don't know that you could look at his skills and say that he's declined so drastically that there's no place in the NBA for him. That would be a lie. But right now it's popular to pile on Chris Paul and to blame him for how the Suns flamed out. The series, it seemed to go as CP3 went. So the first couple of games, just to recap, he averaged nearly 24 points and his turnovers were very low. Remember, he had these huge fourth quarters, not just in the first round, but in the early stages, there was a game, I think it was two or three, where he had a huge fourth quarter and propelled them to, I guess it would be two because they won game two. So Phoenix, again, protected the home court, but then Dallas held serve and won its games on its own court. After he turned 37, okay, so this is a masterful coincidence, unless you believe he fell off the edge of the earth, Kyrie, when he turned 37. After his 37th birthday, the last five games against the Mavericks, he didn't even average double figures, and his turnovers were nearly double. And of course, the Suns lost four out of the last five and were curb stomped. They were steamrolled in game seven on their own court. Chris Paul, he was part of the problem. He did, get this, didn't have his first made basket in the game until the Suns were down 40 in the second half. Where were you, Chris Paul? Well, you're not retiring, but man, the league is all about piling on, and that includes Patrick Beverley. Now, Beverley, he's been in L.A., he's been in the league, he has had to guard Chris Paul. I mean, they're familiar with one another, so there may be some history here, but he did not hold back when he made an appearance on ESPN's, was it First Take? Is that the show? And so there's Stephen A. Smith and Mike Greenberg, but Patrick Beverley really is the star, quote unquote. And his comments, well, they stirred the pot on Monday.
Ain't nobody worried about Chris Paul when we play Phoenix Suns. Nobody in the NBA.
Well, what did I just say, though?
And I'm just letting you know how NBA players feel and think.
I believe you, but what I'm saying
he's finessed the game to a point where he gets all the petty calls, all the swipe throughs at the end. I mean, this guy is out, man. We gonna be honest. We want to be really honest.
Yes.
He should have fouled out. He should have fouled out. The last game too. You see the replay against Brunson. Hit him on the shoulder. Hit him in the mouth. Ref don't call anything. If that's me, oh, review it. Oh, flagrant one. If that's him, they don't call it. So let's not get it twisted, man. He should have fouled out. He can't guard. He literally can't guard.
He can't guard. Yeah. He can't. Chris Paul can't guard anybody? Is that what you say?
Did you see that? No, he can't. Everyone knows that.
Excuse me. No. I don't know that. I haven't heard anybody tell me that.
Because you haven't suited up. You know guys don't like to tell you all the truth. You know that. Because they're scared.
No. He's right about that. They will lie.
I don't care.
He's honest. They will lie. That is true. He's not lying about that.
Man, CP can't guard nobody. Man, everybody in the NBA know that. Everybody know that.
He can't guard anybody.
What we call him? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that. It's just y'all don't want to accept it because
no, I don't accept that.
I don't.
I'm saying again, if you're taller than him, you know, so you can shoot over him. Obviously, that's
an issue. But give him the Ben Simmons slander.
Patrick Beverley lays it on thick with Chris Paul. And he essentially says no one in the league is scared of him. He doesn't guard. We call him a cone. He actually made the comparison that players in the NBA are afraid of Luka. They're scared of Luka and what he can do. But no one is afraid of Chris Paul. And then you hear his back and forth with Stephen A. on First Take. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Never again. From now on, we're editing out the back and forth. Anyway, I thought it was fascinating. I watched it earlier in the day on Monday. James brought it to me as well and said, have you seen this? Have you heard it? We know that Patrick Beverley holds grudges and he's not one to let things go. So there's some history there, obviously. I don't think it's fair to say he speaks for the entire NBA. And it's obvious that Chris Paul is still effective on the court. So he's complaining about the fact that he doesn't get the same treatment from the officials, blah, 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 that he doesn't defend. I mean, hello, does James Harden defend? Does Kyrie Irving defend? No, and people rave about them and pay them $50 million a year. So, all right, I mean, these are all opinions by Patrick Beverley, but boy, when it comes to laying it on thick about the Suns' failure and about Chris Paul and how the rest of the league sees him. He's one guy, but he says he's speaking for the entire NBA.
What we call a cone. You know what you do with cones?
Jay, what's your reaction when you hear it? Because you were the one that brought this to me and you were kind of like, whoa.
I don't think it's in good taste for Pat Bev, but yeah, I don't think he's ever let that stop him before. I think
no.
He truly feels this way. I think he'd say it again. I think if anyone, were to say why you disrespect Chris Paul like that, I think he would just double down on it. I don't think he would ever retract it. That's just not who he is. I don't think. I don't know. I mean, I can't say if he's right or wrong, really. I guess, but just for the timing seems a little odd. For to wait until everyone's ripping on him, to wait until now that we're questioning, is he really that good? I mean, Pat Bev kept his mouth shut about Chris Paul for the longest time, and now that it's fun, or not fun, but it's, you know, timely to rip on him. Now he's going to do it. I don't know.
Now that it's trendy. Right. So he also, and there was more to this because he was there on the set for quite a while. He also said the Suns should have benched him, which I think is ridiculous. Chris Paul, while the Suns did play well without him when they had to over the course of the second half of the season, they're not a better team without him on the court. We've seen that trajectory of the team really explode since he joined them. And as I say, there is definitely history here. These two guys know each other, and Patrick Beverley clearly doesn't like him. I mean, they've matched up, they've done battle. And I would say Beverly's probably pretty ticked off too, still, that they didn't end up advancing farther in the playoffs and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, Bev is good for TV and radio now, but I don't believe he speaks for the entire NBA. And actually, did you see that Damian Lillard responded to Beverly
this
had to say?
This goes on Twitter. So Jeremy Lin made a tweet saying, "Dang, I really hope CP3 gets a championship before he retires. He deserves one." And Pat Bev responds, "What do you mean deserves? Why does he deserve it more?" So there's clearly something here clearly Pat Bev just doesn't like Chris Paul. And this is the time where people are kind of bashing Chris Paul, and he's seeing it as the opportunity to bash him himself.
Dame pipes up on Twitter and he uses Pat Bev's Twitter handle. "Pat Bev, what CP do to you?" So in other words, other members of the NBA are seeing that this is personal. And he goes on to say, this is Damian Lillard, goes on to say, "Brah on TV acting like his word is law, speaking on private convos and preying on essentially Chris Paul's downfall. This weird behavior, I ain't got a horse in the race." And so it was noticeable to other NBA players that it seemed personal, and that Patrick Beverley had an axe to grind, and this wasn't just his commentary. But I will say, in TV and radio, if a professional athlete wants to show up and give you audio gold or give you this type of material, then you're not going to turn it down. And so I don't fault the platform. I mean, Patrick Beverley, as you say, is not going to back down, no doubt. He's probably going to double down before he would back down. And it was the timing, of course, was add insult to injury, right? Was let's pile on, because right now everybody's questioning Chris Paul's role and whether or not the Suns can win with him and whether or not he's missed his last best chance to win an NBA title. So there's clearly something personal there. But I kind of feel like that's who Patrick Beverley is. It's always personal with Pat Bev. Take the ass home.
What we call a cone.
Oh, my gosh. All right, no more of that. That's not going to be a drop on our show. No, it's not. It comes from another network. We're not using it on our... No, it's not going to be a drop on our show.
You got me there.
Absolutely not. I make exceptions every now and then. That was a rare occasion, if you catch my drift. Okay? Got you. So, I just thought it was interesting to hear and to share. But I think it's probably obvious that he does not speak for the entire NBA. Chris Paul can be abrasive. We know he and James Harden didn't get along. And there are many guys that don't want to play with him. But that's not the Phoenix Suns. And it's not the rest of the NBA or the entire NBA. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you tonight for the Hump Show after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.